Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Snow Submission by Kristen Miller, narrated by Marie Hawkins and TJ Clark. Chapter 1. Snow. Somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, White Wolf Pack. "Mirror, mirror on the wall," I whisper, staring at my reflection. "Please tell me how to seduce them all." Because apparently, I'm not even capable of seducing one werewolf, let alone seven of them. My stepmother and I manage White Estate, a successful bed and breakfast built by my late father. But lately, we've fallen into a pit of debt and despair, and we can't seem to claw our way out of it. There is a solution, though it's far-fetched. This month's full moon celebration is special. It's my 25th birthday, and I'll finally be declared alpha of our pack. Everyone is required to be here, including Malcolm Taylor, the super hunky and mega wealthy jeweler from New York City. I've had a crush on him from afar. He really is the perfect guy. And now he's here, in my home, and I finally have my chance to get to know him. My stepmother didn't have to mention that he could single-handedly save the estate. I'm keenly aware of our money troubles and the successes he's had in the jewelry business. If he'd simply fall head over heels for me the way I have for him, everything would be perfect. There's one problem, though. Last night, when I met Malcolm in the main hall of our estate, he mistakenly thought I was janitorial staff. He called me sweetheart and patted me on the shoulder as if I were a freaking child. Total fail. At midnight, when I met him in his bedroom, I sloshed ice over my chin, shoved half a banana in my mouth, and then dropped the other half on the floor like a slob. Thankfully, there's a solution. Hunter, my childhood best friend who also returned last night, has always been a playboy, a self-proclaimed master of seduction with the ego to match. He's absolutely drool-worthy and can back up every bit of his talk. Built strong like a bear, he towers over my 5'4" frame, with wide, sloping shoulders, a thick neck, and a square jaw. It's his features, soft as his body is hard, that really get my engine revving. The sexiest set of dimples I've ever seen flank his full lips. His jaw is clean-shaven, always smooth. And damn me as a liar if his blue eyes don't twinkle when he smiles. He's the only one who can help me capture Malcolm's attention for two reasons. One, he's only here for the weekend, which means we can get freaky without it being awkward afterward. His ski lodge business takes him all over the world, far from here, and he has no plans to stay. Two, he's always been able to get anything and anyone he wants. I need him to show me how he does it. He agreed to teach me, of course. He's such a great friend. But he seduced me instead. I was panting with desire not once, not twice, but three times before half the night had passed. Bottom line? I tried to seduce Malcolm and failed. Miserably. I wasted away my Saturday morning and afternoon at the estate, assisting staff with pack needs. I tried to bury myself in my duties and avoided my stepmother at all costs. Now that the sun has set, I'm back at Hunter's Lodge for my second lesson in seduction. He says it involves six of his friends, and I'm scared as hell. He can't possibly plan for me to entice all of them. He has to know they wouldn't be into a woman like me. From what I've heard, they're testosterone-raging alphas to the extreme, and I'm just me. A little clumsy, shy, and naive. Not their type at all. Two knocks on the bathroom door jar me from my thoughts. "Snow?" Hunter calls, his voice a gravelly rasp. "You okay in there?"
"Yeah."
I've been collecting my thoughts for the better part of an hour. Time to face the music.
"I'm coming out."
As I push the door open, the air hiccups in my chest. Hunter is standing on the opposite side of the hall, directly across from the door, his foot kicked up behind him, his arms folded over his chest. Although it can't be possible, he seems to get better looking every time I see him.
"Thought you might have fallen in."
A sexy grin teases the corner of his lips. just enough to reveal the adorable prick of his dimples. Come on, I want to introduce you to the guys. He takes my hand the way he used to do, when he wanted to show me an animal in the forest or a hidden stream he'd stumbled upon. But now, currents of energy spiral between his hand and mine, zinging through my arm. You're shaking. You shouldn't be nervous, no. They're all bark and no bite. That's not what I'm worried about. It's something about Hunter's touch, even in something as innocent as holding my hand, and the way my body responds to him now. On contact, heat blooms through my body, making my chest tingle and my knees weak. I want his hands on me everywhere, toying with me, leading me to that delicious peak that's just out of reach. I want his lips to crush mine, his tongue to sweep through my mouth and press against my cheek. I crave the taste of him and want him more than I've ever wanted anyone else. But it's physical only. It has to be. That's the way Hunter lives his life, moving from country to country, from one adventure to another without a permanent home. It makes settling down with one woman nearly impossible, unless she doesn't mind traveling constantly. I'm not that woman, so I know what I'm getting into with him. I don't even bother hoping for more. I'm not nervous to meet them, exactly. I say more to quiet the rattling inside me than anything else. But what if they don't? The second I step into the lodge's great room, my words cut short. I'm not quite sure what I was expecting, but four guys huddled around a circular poker table, fisting beers in one hand and cards in the other, was not it. It's not the poker table, or the chaos ensuing over a busted hand of Texas Hold'em that has the breath frozen in my lungs. It's the guys' drop-dead, double-take-worthy good looks. I'd seen them when they'd first arrived and were exiting their cars in the driveway. But I must have been preoccupied because my brain didn't register the details of their hotness. Golden tan skin, square stubble-covered jaws, strong wide shoulders, full lush lips revealing Colgate white teeth, roughed-up jeans, arm tattoos peeking from beneath the sleeves of black t-shirts. As my gaze skids from one to the other, I realize each one is better looking than the last, with the exception of Hunter, of course. The level of his sexiness is untouchable. With a curse, the smallest werewolf of the bunch pushes back from his chair, storms into the kitchen. Only then do I notice their size. Holy Zeus, they're huge. Not a single runt in the bunch. A few of them must have Viking blood or something. Or maybe they've got mutated superhuman genes that make them larger than the average male. Whatever the cause, these guys are the most muscular men I've ever seen. Stripped right from a men's muscle magazine. Stripped. My mind careens straight for the gutter. Shirts ripping in half, revealing ripples of hot, wet, corded muscle. Six-packs. Twitching chest muscles. Dark tattoos. Pants dropping to the floor, revealing their long, thick snow. Hunter's touching my arm. You all right? Mm-hmm. I suck up the drool that was collecting in my mouth. Did someone kick up the thermostat? I feel like I'm sweating. Fine. Every single one of them. Fine. It's as if I've walked into a room full of the Avengers, drop-dead sexy, and fully capable of beating anyone's ass. Only these guys are hotter. And single. Score.
Winning cash,
Hunter says.
You know it.
Cash shuffles the deck, and the sound of cards slapping against one another fills the lodge.
Want me to deal you in?
Not this time. I'm still angry about the 50 bucks you stole from me last week. Hunter places his hand on the small of my back, and I can't help but press against the heat flowing from the heart of his palm.
Guys, I'd like you to meet Snow White.
They nod, mumble something about it being their pleasure, meet my eyes for a flicker of a second, and then return to their game. What the hell? My ego deflates. I may not be the most gorgeous woman they've ever seen, but they're a group of unmated male werewolves, and I'm the only woman in the vicinity. If I can't capture the attention of four playboys, How could I possibly expect Malcolm Taylor, a guy who chases after Jessica Rabbit types, to like me? Hunter has to teach me more.
Nice to finally meet you,
the blonde says, extending his hand, though he still doesn't meet my gaze.
I'm Derek, but these idiots call me Cash. Feel free to do the same.
Nice to meet you, too. I take his hand and shake. His grip is firm, but his hands are soft, as if he's never worked a day in his life. Can I ask the reason for the nickname?
Because he doubles his cash every time he sits down at this table, the burly one to his left snaps. Though he won't be doing that tonight, not as long as I'm warm in this seat. Ignore Harley. He thinks he's got a sense of humor.
Cash flings a card, hitting Harley in the chest.
The White Estate is yours, yeah?
My father's, actually, but since he passed, my stepmother.
You don't go to many of the full moon parties, though. Haven't seen you around in ages.
I cross my hands in front of me. I don't care for crowds.
If you don't show up every now and again,
Cash says, dropping a fistful of chips into the center of the table,
people will start to think your stepmother keeps you locked in the tower. The lodge doesn't have a tower, moron.
The one who looks like a sexy lumberjack, coarse, dark hair, thick beard, haunting onyx eyes, looks at the cards he's dealt and smacks them down again.
But Hunter does have a thing for locking women up. Remember that one we had to rescue from the bedpost all those years ago? She was a diesel.
Hunter's jaw is tight and set.
Don't you have a car to fix up or something? Not here.
Diesel shoots a megawatt smile at Hunter as Cash deals more cards around the table.
The Camaro's already in top form. Ran 11.6 in the quarter last month.
He's a gearhead, Hunter whispers over my shoulder, his breath tickling the hairs on my neck. Can't think about anything but American Muscle.
And women,
Diesel interjects. He got his newest project last year, Hunter continues as if he didn't hear, but hasn't stopped working on her since. Now that I have tasted Hunter, I wouldn't mind him working on me.
Hey, gorgeous.
Cash drags my attention back to him and, for the first time, locks his eyes on mine. There's fire and determination in his steely gaze.
The game is 357, Joker's Wild, and just for tonight,
he says with a wink and a smile.
The ladies are too.
Blood rushes my cheeks. He lets the innuendo fly loudly as he shuffles once more, and then his eyes shift to Hunter. A growl echoes through the lodge, though I'm not sure if it comes from Hunter or one of the brothers who just lost a good hand.
Hunter might not want in, but that doesn't mean you can't play with us. What do you say?
A gruff voice rumbles from behind me. As he passes by, he hands me a glass of something that smells like bourbon.
I'm JD, and I saved you a seat.
He plops himself onto the nearest chair and pats his lap.
Come on, baby, hop on.
Oh, well, all right, I stutter, my cheeks flushing hot as I shuffle closer. I don't really know how to play, though. JD laughs huskily as Cash waggles his eyebrows.
Oh, we'll show you,
Diesel says, nodding slowly.
Don't worry, you'll be in real good hands. Snow, can I talk to you for a second?
Hunter touches my elbow gently, but heat blazes up my arm as he leads me toward the kitchen.
Probably best not to feed the animals, at least not yet.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
He pulls out a stool from beneath the island and motions for me to sit. Removing a Guinness from the fridge, he pops the top and takes a long swig.
We should get back to those rules. You'll be going back to that asshat in the morning.
Malcolm's not an asshat, I counter, frowning. As he shrugs, averting his gaze from mine, waves of jealousy ripple in the space between us. I don't need heightened werewolf senses to pick up on it. But what reason would Hunter have to be jealous of Malcolm? It's not like Hunter wants to stick around and build a forever with me.
Anyway, we need to go over the second rule.
I'd almost forgotten. But I need to stay focused. I'm not here to play poker with Hunter's friends. I mean, he said the next rule involved them, but he couldn't have meant losing all my money. Lay it on me.
Oh, don't I wish.
He exhales heavily, pounding the table with his fists.
Focus.
He pinches his eyes closed and clenches his jaw, as if the last part was spoken for his benefit rather than mine.
The second rule of seduction is that you have to become the center of the object's universe, while ignoring him completely. I frown, taking a sip of my drink. The spicy, woodsy liqueur trickles down my throat, warming me from the inside out. You have to give me more than that. Again, his jaw clenches and a dark shadow passes over his sapphire blue eyes. Contrary to what you might think, becoming the center of someone's world doesn't happen by constantly getting in front of them. It has nothing to do with close proximity at parties. In fact, it's the opposite. I try to follow where he's going, but the sound of chips crashing, voices booming, and cards flying through the room is more than distracting. Let me get this straight. Leaning over the granite island, I rub my temples. The first rule is to be the physical lure, glancing at him from afar, talking slowly, eating seductively, drawing attention to my mouth, touching him, but all the while pretending I really don't care at all. And the second rule is to become the center of his world without actually being in it? He nods decidedly. You got it. No, I don't. It's exactly as you said. But this isn't making sense. How will he know I like him if I don't show him? And how do I become the center of his world if I'm standing on the outside? Behind me, one of Hunter's brothers accuses another of stacking the deck. Some kind of fight ensues, but I won't tear my eyes from Hunter's. I like Malcolm. I do. He's a perfect gentleman and fits the image of the dream guy I have in my head. Malcolm's amazing. Everyone in the pack knows it. If I can get him to fall for me, not only will I have nailed the most eligible bachelor in our wolf pack, but my family's debt will disappear. Bye-bye problems. Hello, happily ever after. I have to know how to do this, and Hunter is the only one who can show me. He leans over the island, matching my distance, and whispers, "You seduce his friends instead. You become the life of the party, irresistible to everyone in his inner circle. Then, when you're surrounded by his closest friends, and each of them is absolutely captivated by you, he'll wonder why he isn't too. You'll have the attention of every male in the room, including the one you want, without involving him in the seduction at all." As my thoughts race, trying to catch up to his seductive genius, I worry my lower lip between my teeth. I see what you're saying, but it's harder than it seems. If I knew how to be that captivating, I wouldn't be single. I bet you don't get asked out because you're closed off. Standing once more, Hunter takes a stiff drink. You give off the vibe that you don't want to be asked. You'll have to flip that switch. Be alluring without actually inviting him closer. How exactly do I flip it? When you first arrive at the party or event, grab one or two friends and head to the center of the room. Rather than smile all the time over every little thing, only laugh if it strikes you. It can't be forced. Smirk, wet your lips, hold eye contact longer than normal with every male you can. Isn't it rude to stare? If you're staring blankly, yes. He narrows his eyes and my skin prickles with heat. But you're going to be imagining each guy in bed, screaming in ecstasy, his cock pulsing inside you. Holy freaking shit. Just like that, I'm wet, nearly panting, unable to rip my eyes from his. And then, he goes on, swiping his tongue over his lips, when you get that picture in your head and you feel your pussy start to get wet, you're gonna slowly move your gaze to the next guy. He removes his stare from mine, but I'm still flushed, my chest hot. And then the next. His gaze meets mine once more, and this time he doesn't need words. Until you're finally staring at the one you want. His eyebrow hitches, just slightly, but it's the sexiest damn thing I've ever seen. I'm quivering with desire, and there's nothing he can do to escape you. I know what he's doing. I felt it when he first laid eyes on me at the kickoff party at the estate last night. And I feel it now. Lastly, you're gonna glide around the room from one position to another, every 10 minutes or so. What's the point of that? You'll seem more dynamic, not so much like a wallflower. Lively people are more approachable. All he'll have to do is wait for you to get to a group he feels comfortable with, and he'll approach you.
Heart beating fast, cheeks hot with a sudden rush of blood, I finish my drink.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down, I say, choosing my words carefully. Because there's nowhere else I'd rather be than right here, learning this lesson from Hunter's luscious mouth. But what does this have to do with your friends?
His irises darken.
You're gonna play them so hard, they'll be fighting over who gets to fuck you first.
Seduce your friends. That's really the plan, I ask, my voice screeching a bit. I thought you were joking earlier. I can't.
You can. He nods, otherwise unmoving. And you will. This is the only way you'll see how sexy you truly are. How you can manipulate every dick in this room if you want to.
If you say so. Swallowing hard, I give the top of my strapless gown a good yank. My girls are going to need to be at their best to pull this one off. But it's not going to be easy.
Baby, he says as I turn and stride toward the poker table. They wouldn't want you if you were.
Chapter 2. Hunter. Talk about a test of wills. Watching Snow seduce my buddies is harder than I thought it'd be. When she sat next to them and jumped into the poker game, commanding their attention, I nearly burst out of my skin. The werewolf part of me is holding back, barely refraining from taking over and seizing control of the situation. I have to remember Snow isn't mine. She never has been, and never will be. Our paths are going in two completely different directions. She is on the fast track to matrimonial hell, and I can't even picture what I'm going to have for dinner tonight, let alone who will warm my bed the rest of my life. Even if I wanted to settle down and raise a few werewolves with someone, she'd have to enjoy moving around every few months. My business is just starting to pick up, and it takes me around the world. If I'm honest with myself, I know it's not the traveling I love so much. It's the rebuilding process. Taking a ski lodge that's suffering miserably, giving it a major facelift, and then watching it flourish, filled with people seeking new adventures. That's the rush I love. I love Snow, too. But it's platonic, in the way a childhood friend loves another. I want her to be happy, no matter what that means. Growing up, I never saw her as more than a friend. She was Snow. Plain, simple, little Snow. She's nowhere close to plain, simple, or little anymore. And now my buddies are going to see it, too. An hour drones by, each second slower than the last. I flop onto the couch next, checking emails and scrolling through social media channels, pretending I don't give a shit about the game of cat and cock that's playing out over my shoulder. But every time her giggly laugh gets out of hand, morphing into something that should be obnoxious as hell, I find myself smiling and laughing quietly along with her. And they are too, damn it. She's winning them over. Happiness radiates through her and around her, lighting up the lodge as if it's bright and sunny rather than gloomy and shadowed. They find her irresistible, too. By the time another hour slinks by and the clock ticks over to midnight, my stomach is jittery and my throat is dry as the Sahara. Time for a drink. Snatching another Guinness from the fridge, I pop the top and march toward the poker table. Cash, JD, Diesel, and Harley are leaning back in their chairs, guarding their cards or peeling back the corners to take a last-minute peek. Rocky and Goliath, the two who'd rather play with women than cards, are in wolf form, howling at the full moon from the back balcony. This is bullshit. Cash tosses his fistful of cards onto a heaping pile of chips in the center of the poker table. That's three in a row. Snow scoops the chips her direction.
What can I say? Tonight's my lucky night.
Diesel grunts into a laugh. You sure you're not hiding anything up your sleeves?
Here,
she says sweetly, extending her arm toward him.
Feel for yourself.
Anger floods through me in a zinging rush as Diesel takes her by the wrist and strokes his fingers up and down her arm. She laughs again, a sweet, giggling melody, and bites her lower lip. I should be the one touching her arm, brushing my thumb against the inside of her wrist, weaving my fingers between hers. I want to pin her arms over her head as I drive into her, harder and faster, linking hands as our hips meet. But that's going too far. She's not mine.
Next time you're going to want to check what I'm hiding up my gown, aren't you?
Smirking, Snow goes back to the game. This time she's dealing, and as each card flings forward, her gaze lands on the guy receiving it.
I don't cheat. Never have. Must be beginner's luck.
She shrugs her smooth, dainty shoulders.
Don't you guys ever get lucky?
I could be deaf and still hear the innuendo in her words. She plays the part of the seductress so well that I'm hard as steel under my fly. Oh yeah, Harley blurts, wagging his eyebrows as he collects his card. Hoping tonight's my lucky night. Maybe you could help me with that.
Maybe.
And my gut clenches into a fucking fist.
But I wouldn't bet on it, she adds quickly. You're not my type.
Every guy around the table whoops into a raucous of laughter and begins raining fists over Harley's head. As I'm reaching out for his arm to bend it behind his back and break it off, reality smacks me hard. I've no claim staked on Snow. I don't have any say in who she flirts with. She's as much his as she is mine. Hell, I'm teaching her how to loosen up so she can land Malcolm Taylor, for Christ's sake. Who cares if she gets a rise out of Harley, or any of them? I force the rage in my veins to simmer down as I circle the table, eyeing each of their cards. Only when I'm behind Cash, facing Snow, I realize she's not looking at me. Not one glance. Nothing. She wins the hand again, and the deal goes to JD. He stops mid-shuffle, shooting a glare her way. What do you say we make this really interesting? She leans toward him, bumping him playfully in the shoulder. I throw up a little in my mouth.
Go on, she croons, her voice a caress against my ears.
Let's make it strip poker. You're dreaming, I blurt, laughing. Snow wouldn't.
I'm in,
she interrupts, keeping her gaze away from mine.
Sounds like fun. What have I got to lose anyway? I'm on a winning streak. Prepare to get naked, boys.
They grumble and snicker, deal and make bets. And it's a good thing she won't look at me now, because I'm pale, white, shocked at the idea that she would even consider stripping down in front of these horny egomaniacs. They're my friends, and cool as hell, but for Snow, not worth their weight in piss.
Why won't she look me in the eye? Not even once.
Cards are face up on the table. Everything's revealed. Surprise! Snow is left with a pair of threes. Shit. She's wearing nothing but her ruby red gown. The guys are drooling, staring, laughing their asses off.
I'm starting to think you played me,
she says, removing her earrings and setting them in front of her.
But I can play too. Let's go again.
Another round. Another loss. Still no eye contact, even though I'm standing right fucking in front of her.
Good hand.
Kinking her head to the side, she removes the pins from her hair and drops them onto the table. Raven black strands of hair fall from the crown of her head, creating a halo of dark silk. The guys are stunned stupid, speechless for the first time in their lives. But I know how silky that hair feels sliding through my fingers, how it sticks to the nape of her neck when she's sweaty and lost in the throes of ecstasy.
Darn it, she says. Can't believe you guys beat me again. Well, I'm bound to win sooner or later, right?
She emphasizes the word bound, and I can't help but imagine her tied up to my bed, hair tangled over her face, mouth hanging open. Legs spread eagle as I hammer into her heat. The memory of taking her against the tree in the forest lingers in my head, as vivid as if it just happened. This round, she's busted. Nothing but a random mismatch of hearts, clubs, and every number up and down the line.
I don't know how this is happening. At least I still have my bra,
she says, reaching into the top of her dress. The room goes quiet, completely still, as she stops, slumps a little, as if she's defeated.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?